for that. Haven't you been blessed already this morning? I know I have been. If you have your Bibles with you this morning, let's turn to Isaiah chapter number 1. Isaiah chapter number 1. And we're going to talk again in this series out of an Isaiah 1 generation, God's love for the broken. And I have said over the last couple of weeks that I hope this first part of our series on brokenness over the summer will be a call to action amongst God's people and in God's church. And so we're kind of working our way through Isaiah chapter 1, where we see firsthand how God views brokenness and how God views the way the people of God were not dealing with the brokenness that was around them. And so we're working our way through this. And this morning, we're going to speak on the subject matter of the restoration of an institution, the restoration of an institution. Remember that there was a crisis in Judah, and the crisis was that they had lost their concern. Specifically, God says that they had lost their concern for the most vulnerable that were among them. They no longer sought after social justice, and they didn't take up the widow's cause. The people were continually caught up and manipulated and abused by a system which had been established that was completely the opposite of God's righteousness and God's standard. Their court system of the day was corrupt, their leaders were cheats, and their religion had become useless. Now, last week we began to talk about the restoration that needed to take place in the land. But before we even get into that, I had a thought as I was still working my way in my own life through Isaiah chapter 1 this week that I want to go back and I want to kind of highlight, or I want to go back and contemplate on for a moment. And that is the reason that God was so offended, and he says as much, was as he looked at the people's loss in Judah, or loss of concern there in Judah, he calls what they were doing idolatry. And you think about how he talks about their religious exercises and how they were continuing to go to the temple and they were doing all of the right things. They were offering up prayers and sacrifices. They were giving offerings. They were presumably acting on the fourth tenet of their faith by giving out to those who were underprivileged in their society as they were met with them there at the temple and all of these things. And you say, how in the world could God accuse this nation of idolatry? It wasn't as though they were raising up these other gods. It wasn't like they were going towards Hinduism or Sikhism or anything like that. So how in the world could this connection be made between their loss of concern and the sin of idolatry? Well, all of a sudden, it dawned on me this week that the reason why this was the case was because the people of Judah had begun to cling on to something which was apart from what God wanted them to hold on to. And that is that they began to cling to their religion. They began to cling to the acts of their religion, specifically the law and the temple itself. And all of a sudden, those things began to replace God himself. You see, God wanted to be their God, and he wanted them to be his people. And naturally, when that dynamic is at work, the people begin to act, they begin to speak, they begin to govern like God governs. In other words, Jesus said in the gospel writers, account, that a good tree bears good fruit, and a bad tree bears bad fruit. Am I right about that? And so if the people were clinging to God, then all of the issues, the social issues that are in front of them here in Isaiah chapter 1 would not have been a real problem. If they were clinging to God, then they wouldn't have needed to be reminded to take up the widow's cause or to take care of the fatherless or to seek after social justice because they were naturally in tune with who God was. But they began to hold on to tradition. They began to hold on to the law. They began to hold on to the things, as it were, of God. And all of a sudden, it began to be borne out in their society. Now, if I'm right, as I make this connection over these last couple of weeks and into the next couple of weeks, as we look at this and we make this connection with the church in 21st century America today, it begins to all begin to make sense, doesn't it? It begins to we begin to understand why our society has leapt headlong into the collision course, as it were, that it's going down now. Because God's people, somewhere along the way, began to get hold on to and to cling on to the things that were really not God himself. We began to cling on to traditions. We began to cling on to things that may have even been a part of God's manifestation, but they were not God himself. We began to cling to the people of God, but not the God who made those people. We began to have these little idols, as it were. And church, I would begin this morning by giving you a dire warning, and that is that in your life, when you begin to value something so much that it creates a stir in your heart that is not connected with God himself, that it begins to devastate you when it's taken away or begins to reshape the way you think, you might be headlong into the same course that Judah was going down in this moment. You might find yourself beginning not to care about the world around you as God cares about it. You may begin to see the world from a different lens. You may begin to have your heart get cold and callous because you're clinging to something that is not God himself. Baptists, we're really good at this now. I mean, we cling to 3 songs, an offering, and a 45-minute message. Am I right about that? Or maybe not the last part, right? We have these traditions that set us apart, and we're going to cling to those things. And when all of a sudden they're disrupted, then our whole world is put into chaos and in fluctuation. But if those things stir your heart in such a way that it angers you, that it bothers you, troubles you in the spirit, then I would give you the warning that maybe those things, whatever they are, might have become an idol to you. And before long, you might be headed down the same road as Judah themselves. And you may begin not to see God or see the world as God sees the world. Last week we said that there was a crisis in the land that needed restoration. And that restoration was going to begin with individual souls. As God looked at the nation of Judah and the major crisis, the major problem that was in front of them, if there was going to be any healing at all, that healing would have to take place, first of all, in the individual hearts themselves. And so he says to them in verse number 18, "Come and let us reason together, says the Lord," right? "Though your sins be red like scarlet or crimson, they shall be white as snow. And though they be like crimson, they shall be as wool." In short, God said to the people, "I can erase all the semblance of the stain of sin in your lives. I can cleanse you." And if there was going to be any restoration in the lands, the first thing that needed to happen was need to be restoration in individual hearts and souls in that land. The nation needed the healing power of God because only God could really solve the problem that was there in front of them. Now, before we go any further this morning, I want to stop and at this point because I want to make sure that everything that I'm about to say in the preceding minutes is brought under the right context, and that is, it is brought as a response of everything we talked about last week. I want to be very, very clear. I've gone to great lengths to draw parallels between Judah in Isaiah 1 and the church of 21st century America over the last 3 weeks. And in the church, much like Judah, there is an appetite for spiritual things. However, like Judah, there seems to be an overall loss of concern of pursuing justice, taking up the widow's cause, defending the broken, visiting the prisoner. And in short, just like Judah, we have begun to raise up idols, and therefore we have begun not to see the world as God sees it. This morning, we're going to look at the restoration of an institution. Judah was speaking about the land here, or Judah was the nation of Judah was being talked about. We're going to make our application with the church here in 21st century America. And we must begin with that fundamental starting point that we started with last week, and that is that restoration begins in the hearts of individuals. If what I'm about to say this morning is true, it is only true because individual hearts have first been restored by the gospel itself. If we don't understand that, if we don't cling to that first, then we will misunderstand the words of verse 16 and 17 here in Isaiah 1, and we will be led to a work salvation. For a moment, we might begin to consider or conceive of a salvation that is based on you and I doing the right things. And while the righteousness this morning that I would suggest to you of an institution is measured through the things that it does or the actions that it produces, we too must begin with the fundamental reality that salvation comes first through the cleansing of the heart brought on by Jesus Christ himself. In other words, God did not send his son into the world to make bad people good. He sent his son into the world to make dead people alive. God sent forth his son while we were yet enemies of the cross, while we were enemies of God himself. There can be no cleansing in my life until first I by faith accept that precious gift offered to me in the gospel, what Jesus did on the cross of Calvary on my behalf. You see, God has to cleanse us first individually before the right actions begin to protrude out of the institution as a whole. God has to reshape our hearts. He has to make us moldable and pliable, usable, sensitive to his will. And he can only do that through the cleansing that is found in Christ, that came when I was an enemy of God, that he would call me his friend, who purchased for me my salvation that I could not earn in a million lifetimes, who came for me and died my death on the cruel cross of Calvary and removed every stain and every semblance of sin that had tarnished all of my soul and my being. If you have any doubt this morning,